move with your body. You can layer them with all of your holiday sweaters. We have great denim from Levi's for men. Also really great cozy base layers. An awesome pant from Ibex for men, but all the women are buying. So come on in to the Shoehorn Boutique for all your holiday needs, all of your gift wrapping, and we'll be your personal shoppers.
In downtown Montpelier on Langdon Street.
There is no better place to shop for a Christmas tree and festive holiday greenery for your home than Mad River Garden Center. The moment you arrive, you'll be struck by the aroma of those balsam firs and the long-lasting value of a Fraser fir, all Vermont trees grown in Craftsbury. They have petite three-footers to stately 15-foot tall trees, plus wreaths of all sizes, even poinsettias, cyclamen, centerpieces, paper whites, and more. Mad River Garden Center is open 7 days a week through Christmas Eve on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Thank you, Jim Conde. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Nice dark day out there today. Thanks for spending part of it with us. The longest day coming up on Sunday. Coming up on the program today, we're going to spend the bulk of the program today talk about what could be the story, news story of the year for 2014. Yesterday, Governor Peter Shumlin announcing that he is pulling the plug on his efforts to institute a single-payer health care plan here in Vermont. The governor will join us coming up in about 55 minutes right here at the top of the hour at 10. And we will also be joined by a number of guests throughout the program, including Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott will be joining us as soon as he is done with a meeting with the folks up at Global Foundries, also what used to be known as IBM. A ton of reaction falling in. Governor Shumlin announcing yesterday that, in essence, the numbers just did not work on his effort to put into effect this single-payer plan. Would have required a payroll tax of about 11.5%. An income tax that it could have been up to 9.5%. And so he said those were numbers that just didn't work. Also, let's remember this is a governor that barely has squeaked by with the largest number of votes in the November election, still technically has not even been elected governor. So certainly diminished political capital. You had the Speaker of the House saying that his effort was really going to be on property tax reform. So certainly looking at an uphill battle there. And also, let's not forget, you throw in a little John Gruber, too, here. Joining us live on the line this morning to talk more about this announcement, let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to the founder of Vermont Digger, Ann Galloway, is joining us on the phone. Ann, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
So, a bit of a shock yesterday, huh?
It sure was.
Why now? What's your theory on why this is happening now? The governor was supposed to be making an announcement in about a week or so here, but obviously that will not be happening.
Well, he wanted to get ahead of the curve because Robin Lunge was scheduled, one of his health care reform team members was about to give testimony to the Green Mountain Care Board about the benefits plan for single payer, and that was scheduled to happen today. And so he said in the press conference yesterday that he wanted to get ahead of that. But I think more to the point, he didn't want to prolong the agony. I think that he knew on Friday for sure that the numbers weren't going to change. His health care reform team tried to work the micro-simulation model as much as possible over the weekend to see if anything would change, and by Monday they decided that there really wasn't a way to make this work financially. And, of course, people have accused the governor of putting this off until after the election. His team has been working on plans for a year now, without disclosing any of that information to the public. But I think with the legislative session coming down the pike, too, he wanted to get this over with.
What's changed, though, in the past, say, 6 months that made this go from maybe feasible to not feasible at all?
Well, I think 6 months ago they thought that, first of all, health care premiums that they needed to replace would cost much less than they realized. The working number that had been thrown around was $2 billion, and it turns out that they needed to come up with $2.5 billion. In addition, there were hundreds of millions of dollars that they were going to have to leave on the table that would no longer be available through the Affordable Care Act. They were hoping for a waiver from the Obama administration that it didn't come through. And then there was Medicaid funding that also wasn't going to be as generous as they thought for the plan. And so the combination of factors really made it much more expensive, and it meant that they had to raise a lot more money in taxes. And like you mentioned in your intro, they needed not only an 11.5% payroll tax, but they also need an income tax on top of that. And I think they realized that a lot of people might even take kind of a double hit compared to what they're paying now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you know, the thing about it, too, though, is that we're going to come up with that money one way or another.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, health insurance rates keep going up and up. The cost of health care doesn't seem to really be going down. I mean, they've made an attempt to bend the curve, but we're nowhere near, you know, where we need to be in terms of being able to afford health care in the state, no question about it.
What's the reaction been, left and right?
It was pretty intense yesterday. Business people like the fact that the governor stepped away from it. Wynn Smith, who's one of the owners of Sugarbush Resort, for example, said that the 11.5% payroll tax would have amounted to a 61% increase for his company. That sentiment was echoed by a lot of larger employers who were present at the press conference yesterday. Smaller employers, it's harder to tell. I mean, I think some of the folks seem to think that the new plan would have been slightly less expensive than what they were paying now. Advocates are really upset. The Vermont Workers Center called it a slap in the face. They seem to be thoroughly disgusted with the governor. And Deb Richter, who has been one of the big proponents of single payer for a long time, really seems to think that there might be a way to move forward on some of the cost containment proposals. And so she hasn't given up hope.
The some of the numbers here, one of the things the governor talked about is that the administrative savings were not what they expected. Can you shed any light on that? What happened there?
I don't know, because they didn't explain it, and they didn't say how much they could have saved and weren't able. You know, they didn't explain it really. So I'm actually hoping that more information about that will come out today. Morgan True will be going to the Green Mountain Care Board meeting. Robin Lunge is still going to be talking to them. So hopefully we'll get an answer. But right now I really don't know, Mark.
Because the Shaw report talked about these administrative savings that were just enormous.
I think the Shumlin administration has always thought that the Shaw report savings on administration were a little high. They've backed down from those numbers. So, and that's been true for a long time. But like I said, I don't have the detail on that right now. But it's a huge factor, and they cited that yesterday for sure.
What are you hearing from people? What are people speculating this does for Peter Shumlin's political future?
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to. I think there are some people who think, well, you know, this is a way of tacking back to the middle. This is a way of ensuring that the governor can kind of right the ship financially for the state, because, you know, we face declining revenues and personal income. And I think that was a factor they talked about yesterday, that, you know, in personal income receipts have been down. And that has an impact on the general fund budget. If they were going to be tapping personal income to pay for health care, that could have been really tough. And so I think that politically, you know, the governor is a great strategist. He's a real chess player. There's got to be a reason why he thinks that this is going to help him not only survive, but potentially succeed down the road. But you know, he has a way of making enemies, and he's going to have a lot of enemies as a result of this decision. The advocates who worked so hard to make this a reality are really disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Back on this question of timing and could this have been done earlier, Peter Galbraith was quoted in Watchdog.org saying, since it was known what it would cost all along, and this was completely known, the question is, why did the taxpayers of Vermont have to foot the bill for paying John Gruber and all the other costs that went with a plan. In fact, the governor knew full well what the costs would be and knew he wouldn't go ahead with it. He described him as the boy who rides the tiger and can't figure out how to get off without ending up inside the tiger's mouth.
Well, you know, that's one view. It's possible that this will be his political end. I think it's hard to predict. He does have a way of bouncing back. They didn't really have all the numbers, you know, ready to go until very recently. I think it's a bit unfair to say that they knew exactly what it would cost all along until we know that for sure. I mean, I think a public records request has to be placed to figure out whether or not that's really true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... The governor wanted this to happen, so to stand up and say, I'm not doing this even though this was my dream, you know, that takes guts. So I think he deserves some credit for that.
Let me have you hang on the line here. We're going to bring Dr. Deb Richter into our discussion here. Dr. Richter is, Ann was mentioning, probably one of the biggest proponents of a single-payer system here in Vermont. Dr. Deb, good morning. Thanks
good
for joining
morning,
us.
Good morning, Mark. Morning,
so you described yourself as being disappointed with this. Surprised, though?
Well, no, I would say that I'm not surprised because I had always anticipated that this was going to be a big, heavy lift that we, you know, to ask a legislature in 5 months to implement a $2 billion tax. I mean, we sort of knew it was in that ballpark. It was always a tall order. So I was being realistic, but of course optimistic. And you don't lose any points for being optimistic. So I figured, what the heck? But I wasn't surprised in that regard. No.
What do you think ultimately killed this yesterday?
I think the extra three. I think it's to the tune of, again, I'd have to look at the numbers, but I thought it was somewhere around $300 million of unanticipated extra cost. That finally killed it because it would have added again if you did with a payroll tax, a 2% payroll tax, just to cover what was something that was unanticipated. And that was, again, the bad economy and the Medicaid and the fact that we weren't going to get the reimbursement from the feds that the UMass report had predicted. And that wasn't known until recently. From my understanding.
You know, I was asking Ann about this. What happened with all these administrative savings? Why did that not come to pass?
Well, the thing is, administrative savings are, remember, there are people attached to those administrative savings and jobs and such. So they don't disappear overnight. I mean, if you have people in a medical office or in a billing office in a hospital, for example, they're not gone right away. And so it's one of those things that's sort of attrition sometimes over time. So it's not an instant thing. And this is not a matter of being able to just throw a switch and all of a sudden you have a publicly funded system. Which is why I've always actually advocated that we do a slower phase in with more manageable pieces implemented more slowly, because this is something that can't be just changed overnight.
Is there another plan? Is there a backup plan here?
Well, I would hope so. I think it's something that needs to be discussed. If this isn't going to happen, then we need something. I mean, Vermonters are demanding, they really are very dissatisfied with the current system. What we have is just a mishmash of all kinds of different paying entities, and Vermonters are caught in sort of this churning effect where they have one insurance one day and different insurance the next day. It changes every you know, several months for some folks, and that is not going to take care of the problem. So I would hope there's another plan.
Two other questions. You know, the governor says these numbers don't work, but we're still going to have to all collectively pay this $2.6 billion one way or another. So I'm wondering what's inherently non-problematic about the other approach.
Well, that's the whole point, is that we don't have a system of financing the health care that we expect to be there. For example, our hospitals, we all want the stuff there, but we don't have any way that says this is going to be dedicated to financing the emergency room or the intensive care unit, those sorts of things. And that's the whole purpose of a publicly funded universal system, is that is a dedicated financing mechanism. You're right. We are, Vermonters are paying every single penny of the $5.2 billion that we will spend, I believe, actually that was in 2012. It's, I think, expected to be along the tunes of $5.6 billion in 2014. So, yes, we will pay every penny of that, but we don't have a system of financing, which is why we end up with all the administrative costs, because it's like going into a store and everyone paying a different price for a gallon of milk using different currency. I mean, how many people do you need behind the counter? That's what we have in healthcare. Everyone has a different insurance plan. This would have been a single plan for the majority of Vermonters, same reimbursement, uniform reimbursement, and one set of rules, which would have made it a lot easier to administer the system. But again, that's something that isn't going to come to pass right this minute. But I'm optimistic that we will eventually get there.
I know you say you want to see some incremental change, but is it fair to say this is the last best chance in Vermont to do this kind of a program?
To do the whole thing all at once, I think this is the last best chance in the near future. But I don't think it's the last best chance to get something significant done for all Vermonters. I do think that that is still very, very possible, and I also think it would be appealing to the business community.
Okay, like what? Can you tell me?
For example, other countries, almost every other industrialized country started with hospital care, and they paid for that publicly for all of their people. That's how Medicare started. That's how it started in Saskatchewan. That's how it started in many European countries. And then they added sectors of care for everyone eventually as their systems evolved. We could do the same, and I think most people understand we're paying those entire bills anyway. I think at least with hospital care, that cost has shifted, and it's shifted in the form of higher premiums for everyone. So again, that is something that we could consider doing. There's all sorts of other options in that respect, but what we need to do is take a sector of care and provide that for everybody. So that is something that could be done, and it could be done in this session also.
Last question. What do you say to these people who say this, who said all along this will never work and that the last 4 years is a waste of time?
Well, I think there's also a lot of people who have a financial interest in keeping things just the way they are. A lot of people are profiting off this current system and don't want to see a change. And it's always easy, again, to criticize something. It's very hard to build something. And I give the governor credit because that's what he indeed was trying to do.
Thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Dr. Deb Richter is one of the biggest advocates of single-payer system here in Vermont, part of a national organization that has also been pushing for that. Back to our discussion with Ann Galloway of Vermont Digger. Anything stand out that Dr. Deb said there? Could there really be anything incremental that happens next session here?
Well, she mentioned that we could start with hospital care, and I think that's an interesting suggestion. I think that would be difficult to pull off because hospitals are very powerful, and because that is where most of the costs in the system really accrue. And so I don't know if that's a possibility or not. It would be a really interesting proposal, because that's sort of what the Green Mountain Care Board has been doing too, is putting pressure on hospitals to limit budget increases. They've in fact put hospitals on a budget, and so maybe it's not that much of a leap to take it a step further and create a program just for hospitals that would be a kind of single payer kind of pull off from the larger plan. I mean, another thing that's been talked about a lot is an all payer system in which the prices for treatments and procedures are uniform. You don't have this variability from one hospital to the next for a CAT scan or knee surgery and so on. You know, every time you go to the hospital or you go to the doctor, there's a code associated with what kind of treatment you receive.
Mm-hmm.
And every code is associated with a cost. And the thing is that there are different codes for different payers at this time. You know, Medicaid pays at a different rate than Medicare does, than Blue Cross Blue Shield does, and Cigna, and so on. And if you had one payment level for each type of service, that would make a radical difference in the cost, I think. Mm-hmm. Other states have experimented with this. Maryland has an all-payer system, for example. Mm-hmm. That's also known to the consumer. You go into it knowing, that knee surgery is going to cost $30,000.
Right. I asked Dr. Deb if there was a plan B. Is there a plan B out there?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I mean, other than, you know, what the governor said yesterday, which is that, you know, he wants to continue to try to reduce the cost curve through Green Mountain Care Board. And other than that, I don't think there is a plan B. But maybe we'll hear more about that today when Robin Lunge speaks to the board.
Okay. I think our friends over at Vermont PBS might need to redo the survey for top stories of the year because this one wasn't on it.
Indeed. I'm sure we'll be talking about that tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you, Ann. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Mark.
Ann Galloway is the founder of Vermont Digger, vtdigger.org. You can reach us on the program this morning at 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. The governor will join us coming up in just about a half an hour. We'll be back after this.
Would you be willing to do a little research in order to save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your next used vehicle purchase? Most folks love saving a few dollars on an airline ticket or a set of tires. Unfortunately, some people buy a used car vehicle based solely on catchy slogans when a little research might have saved them some real money. At Midstate Dodge, my team has put together a website that makes it easy to shop for your next vehicle. One, we provide a free vehicle history report on every car we sell. Two, we scour the internet and constantly adjust our prices to provide you with a great value compared to what other dealers are asking. And three, most importantly, we treat you like family. No mumbo jumbo. We clearly present all the numbers in writing and offer you multiple payment options on your purchase. Come visit us 7 days a week at Midstate Dodge Hyundai Jeep and experience how car buying should be. Halfway between Barrie and Montpelier on Route 302 or on the web at MidstateDodge.com.
At Midstate Dodge Hyundai, we make it easy.
We make a gravy from the drippings and have it with mashed potatoes and the veggies and all the fixes.
Bill McKenzie talks about McKenzie hams.
Well, first off, they start with a quality fresh ham. It's trimmed, and the curing itself is an overnight process. From there, they go into the smokehouse, and then they, after they're cured and smoked, they go in, you know, they're packaged and put in a box to be shipped to the source. Well, you should choose McKenzie ham because you certainly would be have all your guests raving about the taste and the quality of the ham.
McKenzie, wherever fine meats are sold.
Give local this holiday season by shopping downtown Montpelier, a friendly, convenient place. The perfect gift awaits everyone on your list at your favorite independent shops, like these.
Enjoy freshly baked cookies and toasty hot chocolate from Birch Grove Baking's cart on the corner of State and Elm Street. While you're there, check out their holiday menu and order your holiday pastries. Flash your flannel at the drawing board and save 20% off any one art supply Friday only. And remember, they can frame anything, from posters to fishing lures. Give the gift of art and inspire the ones you love. The holidays are a great time to freshen up.